Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to go on with the subject, the superiorities of Christ, as presented in the Hebrew Epistle. And we have already considered, and we're going to go through these briefly for the sake of anybody who may have tuned in for the first time today. We see Christ presented to us in all his glory. There's just a so to speak, an explosion of glory when Christ reveals himself to us in these first three verses of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 to verse 3 inclusive. All right, we'll read and we'll talk about what he is in these wonderful verses. We read, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. All right, we see Christ as Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. We see him as heir. By whom also he made the worlds. We see him as Creator, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, we see him as the Revealer. And today we wish to take up the subject, but we'll go on. The express image of it and the express image of his person. I want to link those two together. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. These are the Christ as the Revealer and upholding things, all things, by the word of his power. Here he is the Sustainer. And then we read, when he had by himself purged our sins, we see him as the Redeemer. And then, last of all, when he sat down on the Majesty on high, we see him as our great High Priest. And now today, as we've already indicated just a few moments ago, we want to take up Christ as upholding all things by the word of his power. He sustains that which he initiates. He initiates and he consummates. And everything that he begins, he finishes. And so we see him as the Sustainer. All right, let's go through the different things that he sustains. We see that Christ is the upholder, the sustainer of salvation in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. That lovely, lovely portion of Scripture that it is so precious. When we see and realize what Christ has done and initiated, and then he's sustaining us. We read there, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. First of all, we should have read, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of our hand. He's the sustainer. He's going to see this thing through. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. This is eternal security. Oh, thank God for that. Now, we may not act up according to our... We may not please the Lord, shall I say it that way, or may not give the indications that we're really following his word. And someone might think, and Satan might tempt them to think so, that they're lost because they've not filled their own expectations, much less Christ. That's not the case. Christ saved us, and Christ keeps us. What he starts, he finishes. And as far as the individual is concerned, he is sustained in a remarkable way. Now, he's the upholder of the church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, we read, he's speaking to Peter, and he says, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He sustains his church. Now, the disciples were all present, and they heard what the Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Now here's a play on words here. The word Peter, in the original language, in the original Greek, means Petros, or a stone, a little stone. But there, you must study this verse very carefully. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, a little stone, and upon this rock, it's a different word, it's Petra, it's basic ledges of rock upon which you can build a city or a tall, towering skyscraper. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He began the church. He is adding to the church, and he's going to see the church through to a glorious redemption in heaven in days to come. Oh, how wonderful this really is when we consider what he has done. Now, he is the upholder of his word. We read in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He is the sustainer of the word of God. He is a prophet, and he sustains everything that he prophesies. And he promised us that heaven and earth shall pass away. Now that's a promise. But my words shall not pass away. So we see him as sustaining, if you please, the whole program, the whole purposes for which he has inaugurated. He's the homer, the upholder of his word. He's going to see it through. And now he's the upholder of his other purposes. He's going to rapture the church. He has promised that he's going to rapture the church. We read in John chapter 14. The Lord Jesus here is about to go away and leave his disciples. But he's giving words of comfort now. This is the eve of his apprehension and the day before his crucifixion. According to our day, actually, in the Hebrew calendar, he had already entered that day. All right. We hear the Lord say here, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Who is he going to receive? It's his church that he spoke of in Matthew chapter 16. And these disciples were a part of it. As a matter of fact, they were the very foundation of the church. Ephesians chapter 2. We read it there. All right, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Now how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we see that Christ has promised to rapture his church, and he's not going to go back on that promise. Now he upholds his other purposes. He's going to reign in the kingdom that he is going to reign 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful hope for this poor, benign world, and benighted world and benign world, I can say either word, I think, that is in revolt against God, and it just seems like the very foundations of civilization and ideals are crumbling underneath us. The moral decadence of this nation in the past two or three decades is alarming. And we would have every reason to fear. But no, it's not out of hand. Christ is going to reign in this world, and he is not going to fail his promise. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, we read about his coming. These are the words of the Lord Jesus himself, and he says in verse 31, "And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations." And he's going to rule over those all nations. "Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Okay, now why did they share this favor? "I was hungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee in hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw thee we sick, and in prison, and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Then he goes and speaks to them on his left hand. They were the ones that did not favor his people. They were the ones that did not believe that a kingdom was coming. And they are led away into everlasting punishment. Oh, we see that he's going to reign in this world. And that reign could come after the rapture. Now, the rapture of our Lord Jesus Christ could come today. No man knows the day nor the hour. Even the Lord Jesus, he knows it in his infinite wisdom. But the Father gives him the command to come and claim his church. And in that wonderful way, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to keep all his promises to us as individual believers, his sheep, and to the believers collectively as to the church. And he's going to set up his kingdom and reign in this world. Oh, think of it. And that will precede after the rapture of the church by 7 years of great tribulation. Then Christ will come and reign upon this earth. He is upholder of all things. He sustains everything he initiates. The church, the creation, everything he sustains. Our Father, today we thank you for the wonderful person that we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that he might indeed have first place in our lives. We thank you for the way that Hebrews honors and glorifies him. In Christ's name, amen.